Good morning, my dear friends. Skip here. 5:31 a.m. February 13th, the day before Valentine's Day. I do hope all things are well with you. Getting ready to go into work again. I get up about 3 hours before I have to be there. It's just the way I've always been. I have to sit and be prepared, acclimate myself to the new day. I'll leave and sit in the parking lot for 5 or 10 minutes. Just part of the way I've learned to function. So it's the best time for me to give one of these podcasts. And I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here. Got my got our podcast puppy on my lap. Hopefully he'll be quiet through this. Let me get a drink of water here. So wanna talk about today conscious choice to reject your own authenticity. Been in a discussion with a friend of mine who listens. You know who you are out there. Gave me a call last night and was asking, and I think this is the gist of his inquiry here, that can you realize your own authenticity and reject it, or consciously choose to do the opposite of real authenticity? Of course, you know, in finding meaning, what we mean by real authenticity is being real love, being real kindness, being self-aware, having the capacity to not just act out of kindness, but for it to actually be who you are, to be the love that I think lies at the core of what it means to be human. Can you touch upon that? Can you touch upon those authentic aspects of being human and then reject it? Can you make a conscious choice? So here's my answer. No. You can't. And that's a complicated thing. And I'm gonna take the next 10, 15 minutes and try to unpack that for us. So the first thing we have to realize is we are talking about consciousness. We're talking about a conscious choice. We're talking about a level of awareness that sees dualism. That is to say, sees sort of good and evil for what it really is, which is a place where the constructs and the ideas of human learned behavior reside. Excuse me as I struggle to find these words. So evil is a part of the matrix. It's a part of the false reality. It's a construct that we have adapted and adopted from very early in humanity. And we've given it all kinds of different names, right? We've talked about a devil or a trickster or, and what we're trying to identify there is really a part of the false reality that is to the most extreme sort of place on the spectrum where someone becomes so self-consumed by the program that we've created that they believe they can hurt other people. Now, I used to think, and hear this, I used to think that especially in religious terms, that evil was when you you know, realized love and went ahead and did evil anyway. What I've come to understand is that that really can't happen. That when you really understand love as who you are, you understand that in such a way that puts you beyond the notions of dualism, that puts you beyond the conscious level of evil. Because you really can't understand what real love is until you honestly see that the dualistic nature that we have created cannot offer you that love. The religions we've created, the self-help we've created, even the highest concepts of love that are proposed within the context of the false self still judge itself against things to prove itself. Let me try to say that again. That even the highest religious notions of inclusion and love and service to humanity still operate within the notion where it has to, those qualities have to compare themselves against something to be good, to be right. The love I'm talking about is beyond the idea of comparison. So let me give you an example. Let's say that you go to a local soup kitchen, a local charity every week, and serve meals. Wonderful thing. Don't get me wrong. Someone needs to feed people. Someone needs to care for people. There are many people in this world who don't get to eat, don't get to have things, don't get a roof over their head. Families live in cars. You know, so going to the local soup kitchen, a local food pantry every week is a good thing. But even that most noble trait depends on there being hungry people to do that with. Even the most noble idea of who we are as humans is still ensconced and relies upon the idea that someone won't eat, someone doesn't have. And although those band-aids are great, I mean, you know, like I said, if you could feed a child or help someone, do it. Because that's, you know, we have to, just to be decent people even. But understand that charity, I'm using air quotes, the idea of charity is fully dependent upon there being someone to be charitable to. And so, you know, Jesus has that quote where he will say, and people, I didn't understand this for a long time, where he will, they're going to put oil on him and the oil's worth money. And he says, you're always going to have the poor, but you're not always going to have me. And I was always confused by that. And I think what Jesus was trying to say, you know, when these people are trying to, you know, treat Jesus nicely, is that because of the way you perceive reality, you will automatically put in place poor people, rich people, those people, them people. You automatically put in place duality, dualism. And what religion really became, or maybe always was a place for people to try to go and help save a soul, if you will, if you want to use that language, help feed help feed people. Again, nothing wrong with that. But that idea alone, if that becomes your notion of what it means to be a full expression of your humanity, that idea is dependent upon there being someone to help. And because of that, it creates a reality where people become dependent, where people become those people and them people. And the same is true with evil. If you say, I'm going to go into the world and do good, what you do in that mindset is you have to have, in order for there to be a notion of good, you have to have a notion of bad. Trust me, I'm not saying there isn't bad things that go on in this world. I'm watching the news right now. But the programming is such that we necessarily put in place these things to compare ourselves to. And so we'll go back to the PPP thing here. We all perceive the data the same way, but it's the processing. The processing that we have is dualistic. And so when we say, can someone really become love and then, you know, ignore it and go do evil? That notion is a part of the dualistic programming that we're a part of. I'm convinced, more than convinced, that when you see that dualistic notion of what it means to be human through the lens of real love, real kindness, real authenticity, that you can't go back. There's no going back from that. There's no going back from that pure land, that true love. You can't experience that and reject it. Because if you do, if you think you do, then you're not far enough out of the matrix, out of that dualism. If you really experience unconditional love for yourself, for others, you can't reject that, because that is indeed and in fact who you are authentically and at your core. The struggle is that we are so innately programmed to function out of comparison that our mind automatically goes to the need to define things as good and bad, evil, love. And we don't do that out of, you know, that it's just the way we are made to think. It's the way we are made to define ourselves. Even if we are seeking the highest of what it means to be a good human being, we are so reliant upon there being good and evil that we define the good in opposition to things that derive from a false understanding of reality. When I read Buddhism, when I read the words of Buddha, when I read the words of Jesus, when I read the words of Lao Tzu or Mother Teresa or even someone like Dorothy Day or the ancient mystics, I see them struggle to articulate a non-dualistic notion of reality. Because all of us, including me, are so heavily programmed to view the world through the lens, through the programming of good and evil, we can't conceive of a love that is so profound that evil doesn't exist because there's no dualism in real love. There's no need to compare. There's no need to strive to be good when you live out of authentic love, because it is the good. It is the just. It is the love. It is the kindness. And so our struggle is to move from those conceptual ideas of being a good human, of having good traits, to actually being the trait itself, to personifying, to being love, kindness, generosity, rather than have it be a conceptual idea that may be an appendage to a religious idea. A lot of religious people do good because their religion says they must. I'm going to tell you right now, folks, I saw a lot of people who would go to the soup kitchen and gossip about their friends in negative ways. You know what I'm saying to you? That it's not just the doing of the good. It's not just the living out of the concept of what one might or must be. It is, in fact, becoming that love. And love is real love, authentic love. That I'm still trying to get there. But I have tasted enough of it. I've seen enough of it to know. If I can use the words of Dr. Martin Luther King, I have seen the promised land. And I know enough of it to know that who we truly are as humans is not some fallen, sinful, murderous being that might be able to do some good. We are the love that created the universe. We are a part of that energy that heals, that seeks to find real justice, but does so in a way that doesn't punish, but heals people, that nurtures people. Now, I know those are lofty ideas, and I want you to hear this from me. I still struggle with them, because I will probably this day judge many, many people, be frustrated in many ways. But now that I've seen the promised land, I know it's there. And the promised land is a place where I don't need someone else to be bad so I can be good. I don't need someone else to be able so I can love. I don't need someone else to be hungry so I can do the right thing. Those ideas that are based in dualism are indeed our programming, my friends. They are the false reality. From that pure land, that kingdom, that promised land perspective, there is only love. Now, a lot of people will say, well, that's naive. Well, the idea that some people believe that's naive is the programming, right? People will go, psh, shrug their shoulders and say, that's BS. Well, the fact that we reject the notion of this is the matrix. It is the false reality. The fact that we take the words of Jesus or Buddha or Lao Tzu and we make a religion out of them is because we don't know what to do with them. Most people can't consciously understand that they are really love and they don't have to compare themselves to others. And we don't have to create a reality where there's haves and have-nots in order to prove that we're good. So the answer to the question is this. The idea that someone can express or can understand their own authenticity and reject it, that can't happen because that notion is the matrix. There you have it. Thank you, my friend and my friends, for the question. Pretty complex topic for 5:30 a.m. That's why I took a little longer to unpack it. I will talk to you, my dear friends, tomorrow. Bye-bye.